My name's Helena Gom, and I'm the editor of English Teaching Professional magazine.
And in this podcast, we're going to be talking about IATEFL, IATEFL 2012.
IATEFL 2012 in Glasgow. Yes, it seems quite a long time away now. it was great conference. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Very busy. I didn't get to see much of Glasgow, which was a bit of a pity. But that's in many ways a good thing. It means that our stand was very, very busy. As you know, we were launching the ELT Knowledge website at IATEFL this year, and it was nice to have such a good reaction from so many people. It was a good conference in other ways too. I was very impressed by the number of very enthusiastic young teachers that I saw at the conference. There seems to be lots of new blood in the industry, people with great ideas, people very keen to share their ideas, and I went to some extremely good talks by people whose names I hadn't heard before.
Were there any talks in particular that you thought?
Well, yes, I mean, I've mentioned Claire Hunter's talk before in a blog. That was one that it caught my eye when I was going through the conference programme, mainly because of the subject matter, which was TED Talks. TED.com is a website where you can access some fantastic material, but some are quite short talks, given by people who've got very, very interesting things to say. And they can be on almost anything. I mean, one that Claire had highlighted was a guy who just gave a 3-minute talk on how he had learned in a shoe shop that there is a better way to tie your shoelaces than the way that we've been doing it for years and years and years. And they make great, great teaching material. And I was struck by this because I knew that in the May issue of the magazine, Nikki Hockley, in her series on technology, 5 things you've always wanted to know about X, Y, Z, but were too scared to ask. I knew that she was going to do one on TED Talks. It was a nice tie-in, so I thought I would go along to hear Claire and see what she had to say about it. And it was a real eureka moment, because I was aware of TED Talks as a great source of entertainment and also as a teaching resource. But it was interesting to see how well she used them in the classroom and how much mileage she got out of them with her students, not just watching them, listening to them and analysing them for language, but actually sort of going away and producing similar things of their own.
Let's have a quick listen to see what Claire said in her talk. This is just a quick extract from her talk at IATEFL 2012.
Obviously, one of the great things about TED is not just the language that the people use, which is great, authentic listenings and everything, but also the ideas that come across. And so we'll focus on using the content of the talks as well. And again, obviously there's a lot of crossover here between using the language that the presenters use and then using that as a springboard into using the content for other activities, okay? So things are very intertwined, but I've divided them up as best I sort of thought I could. I'm also not gonna look at other aspects like critical thinking and things like that, because I think it's all involved in the various categories, so I'm not going to look at that separately. It'll just come up as part of it. Okay, so what exactly is TED? Okay, TED is, TED.com is the website of the TED conferences. It stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. These conferences started in 1984. Okay, they're held a couple of times a year in America, and there's one in Edinburgh as well. It would be great to go to one and see all these wonderful, inspiring speakers, but at $6,000 a ticket for the conference, it's a little bit out of, well, my reach anyway, so I don't know how well your schools pay you, but... So technology, entertainment, design was the original brief of the conferences. But nowadays the scope is much, much broader. And there are lots of talks on education, on all all sorts of topics, okay? Something for everyone, really. The website's got over 1,100 talks on it at the minute, and there's more being added all the time. And once the talk's on the website, it stays on the website, okay? A lot of them also go up on YouTube. The clips that I'm going to use today, I'll be using on YouTube just because I've got them lined up to where I want them to start from. And with TED, with the TED website, it resets your connection every so often, so I'd have to jump about a bit. Okay. Now, so the talks on the site are given by people who are asked to give the talk of their life in 18 minutes or less. So they vary in length from under 3 minutes to over 18 minutes. So obviously it's not so easy to stick to a time scale all the time. I also want to point out that although I'm talking primarily about the sort of adult learner context, it's not just for adults. There are talks by young people on it, like there's one by a 12-year-old app developer whose first app was a kind of whack-a-mole game of hitting Justin Bieber on the head. And last week, they just launched their new YouTube channel, TED Ed, which is aimed at high school children. And there'll be a dedicated website for that in April, the beginning of April, I think. So I'm not going to talk about that today because it's new, I haven't looked at it. But if you're involved in teaching young learners, that might be something that you want to explore a bit further.
So yeah, that was really good. And it reminded me, actually, of a time of several, many issues ago when Jamie Keddie, who's now a big name in ELT, did a series for English Teaching Professional on using images in the classroom. And I think he did about 6 or 7 articles. He started out with artworks and photographs and drawings that the students have done, and eventually he got round to YouTube. And because I have to, as part of my job, I have to check out every website which is cited in an ETP article, and basically just to make sure that it's still accessible, because they do come and go fairly rapidly. So I get to check out these things, and so I had to spend an entire afternoon checking out Jamie Keddie's YouTube website. So it was one of the most enjoyable afternoons I had working for the magazine. You know, I got to see the sneezing panda and all those guys in prison doing the Michael Jackson thriller dance, and the Canadian maths professor who could draw a perfect circle freehand, and I just had a wonderful time. And when I read Jamie's article for the first time and saw that, you know, that YouTube wasn't just, you know, a good laugh and a link you sent to friends because you'd seen something funny on it, it could really be used in the classroom in a very productive way. It was with Claire, it was a similar sort of eureka moment.
I guess that's the beauty, though, isn't it? You get to see, especially when you've got an article on it, and then you're seeing it in practice.
That's brilliant.
So who else did you go and see then when you were at IFTEF?
Well, I went to see Jeremy Harmer, whose talks are always extremely good value. I actually edited Jeremy's latest book, Essential Teacher Knowledge, published by Pearson. And his talk, I mean, mentioned this book obviously, but it wasn't promoting it specifically. Jeremy's talk was called Six Key Questions for Teachers and Trainers at the Crossroads, and it talked about key issues in English language teaching, the use of IT, CLIL, which is big at the moment, benefits and disadvantages of language testing, repetition drilling, that sort of thing, grammar syllabus, rapport. And he was really demonstrating the diversity of views and opinions, and looking at questions that teachers need to ask themselves when they're choosing which sort of methodology to embrace. Really, he's always very entertaining, and it was a nice talk and very well received. Somebody else that I went to hear was Dee Dee Wilson, talking about teacher training in China. Where they're trying to train enormous groups of teachers and dealing with the sheer numbers in one room. You know, how do you get teachers to do practical activities when there's so many of them in the training room? And that was a very interesting talk.
I guess the challenges faced there then are very kind of niche challenges, aren't they, though?
Yes, indeed. I mean, you know, Jeremy's talk was issues which are, you know, possibly, you know, similar in many different contexts. And so, you know, we all teachers face the same issues, but everybody's situation is also individual. And that's also something that comes across in the articles which are sent into the magazine. Some are highly specific about, you know, situations which only occur in the context in which that teacher is working. But sometimes they can have more universal application. And always we try to choose articles for the magazine which will mean something to us as large a readership as possible. But sometimes the two are not entirely incompatible. You can have an article which is about a very specific situation, but which, you know, the activities which are suggested for dealing with it could be adapted to another situation.
Or that idea could become a springboard for something else.
Exactly, yes. And that's what we really look for in articles that we choose for the magazine, is things which can be a springboard to other people, for them to use activities themselves, adapt them, or use ideas and adapt them for their own classrooms.